to Art If, the podcast about art, life, and everything in between.
All right, so this is minisode number 11.
In this minisode, we discuss art experiences doing provocation number 11.
From Tai Chu.
His provocation was to use your art form or your storytelling ability to create something that represents or speaks to a marginalized, underrepresented, or unheard communities in your life. Ask yourself, how can I create a piece or a project that represents this community or amplifies the voice of this community? If you don't consider yourself an artist, next time you pass someone, ask them questions to get to know their story.
In this minisode, Yasi and I discuss our process with this provocation, pushing our own boundaries to reach out to our communities and expand our own artistic processes. We learn about considering the world around us when we're making our art, thinking about the stories and that others have to tell, and developing a more nuanced and cohesive worldview. I felt kind of weird about this because I actually don't feel like I haven't lived in Springfield very long, you know, and like I just don't have like a whole lot of community. And then also as a theater artist, I find it is hard to amplify. I feel very limited by the people I'm actually around. And so as a person who studies theater of Africa, for example, that would be my inclination is to amplify these voices, but I'm surrounded by only white students.
Right.
Or
and so
vast
you can't,
majority. Right. Right. So I decided to think about this in terms of my painting work.
Okay. Cool.
Instead, I did do the thing where I started talking to people more in my community. So here in Virginia, like anytime I would go get takeout, if it was like a local small joint, I'd talk to the person and usually it was the owner and just sort of ask them more about their lives. So I'm going to
Any good stories?
Well, one of the men I talked with, he commented on my eyebrow ring. He used to have an eyebrow ring. And then when his children, when he had kids, he took it out. And I was like, why? And he was like, well, I want them to be able to make their own decisions. And I was like, well, but now you're already directing them by having taken it out. It's no longer an option for them. And then he was like, I just want her to get out of the house. And I was like, how old is she? And he was like 15. And I was like, oh, you've got this many more years. And he was like, oh, no, she'll get out before then.
Oh my gosh, that's fast. Okay.
Yeah, it was funny.
That's funny.
But I actually decided to spend like some quality time thinking about how to amplify voices of others in my artwork as painting. But this has also posed some challenges for me because my primary subject matter isn't like portraiture or anything like that. And I was like, well, how do I can't tell somebody else's story, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to just, we also talked about with Ty, right, like the photograph of that girl and, right, gaining notoriety on by using other people's images. And so how do I interact with this? I started thinking about, I have a series of paintings that depict sort of fantastical experiences of traveling and they're all about me. I call them my traveling girl series, and there's this tree that appears in all of them because it's a tree that's native to Madagascar, but in layman's terms it's known as the traveler's tree. And so the girl and the tree appear in all the paintings, and then they're each accompanied by a story about something that I experienced as a mostly independent traveler. And they're very landscape-based or animal-based, and so they don't ever depict any of the people I encounter, and the stories don't really dwell on the people that I encounter.
Okay.
So that's what I decided to think through for this, is what are the significant moments or experiences or lessons that I learned that were related directly to my interactions with locals in the places that I travel, and how can I represent those things? And I also don't necessarily like have photographs of these people's faces. So portraiture is not really an option here. And so I'm thinking about this woman who lived across the street from me when I was in Madagascar. And She was my alarm clock every morning. I woke up to the sound of her laughter. She
just had this nice.
Yes, this big billowing laughter. And the one of the women across the street from me was the coffee seller in town. And so all of the women would gather there, and I would wake up to like this cacophony of women laughing.
Awesome.
And yeah. Actually, there's a really funny story. The first night I had a man stay over, he left the house before me. And when he opened the door, this gaggle of women just like lost their shit because like this man is coming out of my house and he's so embarrassed. And I did not leave my house until afternoon that day.
That's really funny.
So I was thinking about the things that I do in my Traveling Girl series and how can I can sort of integrate these two experiences. And I do a lot of like texture-based work to sort of create this atmosphere and this experience. And so what are the various textures of the things that were valuable to me in those interactions? So like, what's the texture of laughter? What's the texture of comfort? What's the texture of friendship or dependability? And how can I put these into a collage with the girl and the tree and some representation of these women?
Okay.
And it made me also think of when we talked about Edgar Heap of birds and the multivocality of the paintings. And so trying to think through all of these different textures and all of the different voices that come together in this moment and really more collage oriented than background and subject.
Okay. I'm so excited. Are you going to show me art? I'm like so excited.
No.
Oh.
I mean, I kind of made like one sketch, but it's like not even legible.
Okay.
But so I soon. Also, yeah. I also, because I'm a scenic artist and a set designer, I think in terms of three dimensions, and like I really think I should just be an installation artist.
I mean, what's stopping you?
Access to wood and tools. Okay. But I'm imagining these paintings, instead of hanging on a wall, being on curved canvases so that they're facing inward. And so you have to like go inside and be in like this cocoon and be like have a 360 view of the painting.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, that's what I'm imagining this kind of turns out to be.
Awesome. And sort of makes you travel from place to
place.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I was thinking. I guess I was thinking more at the sort of the end of the conversation. We were talking about amplifying voices, and I asked the question, like, how do you do that to, like, community to other people that might not be receptive of a certain community's voice?
Oh, yeah. Right.
And so with our political division in mind, and an election coming up, I took the second piece of his, like, listen to somebody else's story, learn about them, figure out. So my goal was I wanted to have a non-confrontational discussion with, like, people who believe politically different than me.
Okay. How'd that go?
Well, so first I started on Chat Roulette.
Oh, shit, girl.
And let me tell you that
is a
like,
scary place.
Not a lot of people want to talk politics.
They just want to get naked.
Yes. But I had a lovely conversation with a 18-year-old African-American man. Huh. And we did believe the same things similarly. But it was really, I just took the perspective of like asking questions rather than telling people what I thought. So like, hey, why do you think that? Why do you know? What do you think is going to happen? What should we do? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And we had a lovely conversation. And then I was like, hey, actually, my goal is to talk to Trump supporters. Like, and he said, oh, go to Omegle, which is like a different website.
Okay.
Like Chat Roulette. It's very similar. So I had a few very interesting conversations with mostly younger people about their beliefs. So,
well, that's because they're the only ones who know how to use the internet.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting to ask them, like,
yeah.
So I had one gentleman, I think he was like in later high school, and he was wearing a mask, not a sanitary mask, like to hide his identity.
Oh.
But a few people were, actually, which was interesting. But he was like a young Asian American.
Did you ask them why they were hiding their identities?
I just assume they just wanted to be private on this thing. Hmm. But there were multiple people who were.
Did you find that was true in Chat Roulette?
I didn't make it very far in Chat Roulette because he was like, try Omegle. He was like one of the first people I talked to, actually spoke to.
Okay.
The first gentleman I spoke to, who was like half Latino, half Asian American, thought Trump was a good businessman, believed in the wall, but didn't think he was handling COVID well. So I sort of tried to ask questions like, well, why do you think he's a good businessman? Rather than be like, well, every company he's bankrupted, it's all his dad's money, which is like what I actually think, you know?
Right.
And I don't know if it helped. And then I talked to another person in a mask who I think was younger, I would guess was like 12 or 13, who started telling me he believed that anyone who was gay was going to hell. And I started saying, well, why do you believe that? Like, you know, where did you learn that? And he's like, my church. And I'm like, oh, well, why does your church say? So I build these up because I had a lovely hour-long conversation with a young 20-something-year-old in Florida who is in law enforcement area, is in the Army Reserve, and it has very different religious beliefs than I do. But we had a conversation in which we could talk about these things without it getting heated. And found that we actually had a lot of common ground.
Yeah.
And we were able to talk about like some of the things he was going through with his church and some of the ways he thinks people should be treated and talk about politics. And even though we didn't agree, I think coming at it from a point of listening to other people's stories and their backgrounds, which is what I took from the provocation.
Yeah.
I believe is the way forward. Now, I don't know that I would necessarily recommend anyone go on those sites unless you want like all kinds of shows, but it was definitely interesting and to really hear what people who are different than me think, considering I don't have a lot of opportunity for that interaction. We all tend to be a little bit siloed
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that's how I took it. And I don't know if my questioning helped anything, but I do think that at the very least, they're not going to think I was some sort of raving liberal.
Did you find that they very often returned questions to you, or they were just happy to have a platform to share what they think?
No, I mean, some of them were the last one was a discussion and the first one was a discussion. So no, I mean, I would say there were conversations. I mean, I will say that, you know, I'm a mid 30 something. So there may have been some sort of age dynamic in which they would maybe feel less comfortable asking me questions.
Oh, yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah, but it was, you know, it was interesting and not something I would have imagined doing for a night, but, like, I learned. I have a better total sense of, like, who America is. So,
yeah. Yeah, I feel like this provocation really pushed me. It definitely pushed me to think beyond myself, right?
Oh, for sure.
Because when I'm thinking about these stories, even as I try to incorporate these other people in my experiences, right, the thing is me search is research. No, wait, research is me search.
Yeah, either way.
Right. And partly I'm hesitant to tell other people's stories on their behalf, right? And so the stories I can tell are my relationship with them and the experiences we shared together, right? And so it's still not telling their stories completely. Though I think I shared with you, right, the project idea I have where I follow one of the women adventurers around the world to all the different places and then find women in those countries and interact with them and make them heroes.
I still think you should do that.
Exchange portraitures. I'm working on it.
Okay.
I mean, like in this sort of like long form kind of working on it thing. Like it's still there. So
good.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you, Ty.
Yeah, thank you for getting us to get out of our comfort zones.
Don't
forget to share your provocations with us by tagging us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at #ArtIfPodcast.
And of course, subscribe, rate, and review us everywhere you listen.
And we're just going to keep saying that until you do it. So the sooner you do it, the sooner we'll shut up. No, we're never going to shut up.
Bye.
Bye.
'ArtIf Podcast is produced by
Hattie Cry
and Yasi Jahanmir.
Our theme music was composed by Muhammad Abdul Salam.
Follow us at 'ArtIf Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook to stay up to date on upcoming episodes and to join our vibrant community of artists.